Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now we say Psalm 33 responsibly by the half verse. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord.
May my words be the words of our Lord, speaking through me. How many of you know what FOMO is? FOMO is the fear of missing out. It's something that's been generated by the advent of the internet and Twitter and tweet. The fear is missing out on something or someone more interesting and exciting or better than what we're currently doing. People have to interrupt the moment where they're having a real connection with a real person in order to check their Twitter, their Facebook, or their social media feeds to make sure they're not missing out on something better. So it's the temptation to always think there's something more than what I've got right now. It's not a new phenomenon. When I was younger, we used to call this cocktail eyes. When you're at a cocktail party, and the person you're talking to is looking over your shoulder around the room to see if there's something going on that they're missing out on. You get the feeling they're not interested in you or the present moment at all. Is there something more interesting that I'm missing out on? Missing an opportunity to be present in a current experience that's real because there might be something more. I think sometimes we're all afraid of missing out. Advertisers know this. We're constantly being bombarded with messages that say, you need something more. If only you had the new KTEL Wonder Wizard, your life would be so much better. In this world of thinking we need more, we can find ourselves trapped by an unhealthy attachment to our treasures, to stuff. Treasures soon become chains of our own prison. Jesus understood this. It has always been a human thing. It was present even back then before the internet. We're looking for something more just in case we don't have enough. This is why his message in Luke begins with comfort. Relax. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Yes, give. No easy payment plan. No buy one, get one free. No free delivery. A gift. Do not be afraid. The phrase appears 78 times in the NRSV Bible. I think God's trying to tell us something. Many of our problems in our lives grow out of fear. They're not real problems. They're fears we have that we might have a problem. The fear we are missing out. The fear we will not have enough. The fear we will be left out. Jesus says, relax, I've got this covered. He reminds us that he has told us he will care for our real needs. That he has a plan that will work in our lives. All we need to do is follow him into the kingdom if we trust in him. We don't need to be searching for something else. We need to be present for what is. It is here at hand, his kingdom that he invites us into. Now, Jesus tells us, sell our possessions, our treasures, and give alms. Give it to the poor. Why? Does he want us to be poor? I don't think so. As I said, we find ourselves trapped by our attachment to treasures. Like the rich man in Matthew 16, that asks Jesus what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said to him, if you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This man couldn't follow Jesus because his possessions had become his kingdom and his prison. Jesus wants us to break the chains that bind us to our treasures. He's telling us to give away our possessions because he wants us to be free. To be fully present to the moment. To be fully present to being alive to the life he calls us to. Not a life of worry. Do I have enough? But a life where we enjoy what really makes us human and alive and present in his kingdom. Jesus asks us to examine our treasures and decide what are our true treasures. We should sell the stuff that is not a true treasure. Give it away and give the money away to the poor. He's indicating this is probably where the money should have gone in the first place. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If we spend all our money on ourselves, guess where our heart is? If we use it to help others, then our heart will go with it. And this is where Jesus is trying to lead us. To guide us, to send our heart, to have our heart be with the poor, the marginalized, those on the outside who need our help. But as usual, Jesus is never making this about the simple things. He's talking about more than giving from our abundance to the poor. His whole message throughout the Gospels is about changing a system that creates the disparity of power and wealth. He wants us to be about rebalancing an unbalanced society, an unbalanced culture. He's always calling to turn the system upside down. For most who have the treasures to sell could probably have just kept the treasures and given the money to the poor. Just write a check from their abundance. And they often do. But Jesus is always calling us to radical change. That's why he came. To change the system where some have an abundance in the first place at the expense of others. He's calling us to action in solidarity with the disadvantaged. He's calling us, his people, to service on behalf of those who are less well off, less advantaged. The message is not about taking from the rich and giving to the poor. It's about removing the prejudices that allow some to succeed at the expense of others. This is the solidarity that refuses to turn away from and let inequities stand. Kind and generous people might try to soften the edges of an economic system that generates inequalities with regular and generous giving. But the system still stands and will continue to create more inequalities. Jesus is not interested in correcting the unequal distribution of wealth that results from our current world order. That's just a symptom of the problem. His vision is much more radical than that. He wants his followers, in their radical dependence upon him, to enact nothing less than a reversal of the world order as it's presently known and legitimized. In other words, he's calling us for a shift, to make a shift away from the world in which some people survive only because they are more privileged than others. Some people survive only because those who are privileged choose to act morally from time to time. In his mind, instead is a different world, the kingdom here on earth. He wants to correct the system that results in 1%. He is calling us to action. He says, be dressed for action and have our lamps lit. his call to almsgiving isn't about offering help to those with less money. It's about sharing power and advantage so that all might have economic justice. His kingdom doesn't offer the opportunity for an abundance because of social status, sex, where you were born, the color of your skin, or your political connections, or the size of your army. His gifts are free. And he calls on us to share his gifts with all. When we adopt this transformative solidarity, it creates unfailing treasures in the kingdom. The kingdom that is here among us now. If we follow him and act when we see injustice. The system has changed from the bottom up. It has changed when we don't accept racist or sexist language or jokes. When we don't accept bigotry. When we stop judging people based on stereotypes. When we stop dividing the world into us and them. When we stop thinking that winning means someone else loses. God calls on us to share his gifts of creation with all who share this island planet we call Earth. I'm asking you to consider how we can live up to that call going forward into this world and making it a better place for all. Thank you, God, for the abundance you bless us with. I'll leave you to ponder that for a few minutes.